Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, January 13th. 2022, one day closer to the NFL playoffs. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly do appreciate it. It's like we appreciate it every time you listen to the show or watch us on 38 The Spot. Today we'll have one of our NFL insiders, Adam Kaplan, on at 7:30. Get his picks for all the NFL playoff games this weekend that you can listen to right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Gary Lezak will give you an updated forecast, not only for today, but for Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest will join us at 8:05. Jarrett Sutton at 8:30 will talk about the steaming plate of poop that is Mizzou basketball right now. And then at 9:05, Nick Leckie, former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, will help us preview the Chiefs and Steelers. And also Mike DePasquale will have his picks. Mike's got this at around 9:40. So all that and more between now and 10 o'clock. We'll also hear some more comments from Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin as he spoke to the media. We're going to have some Chiefs sound for you. We're going to hear Ben Roethlisberger feeling sorry for himself and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So lots of good stuff to talk about when it comes to the NFL playoffs and the showdown on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Steelers. You heard some comments here from Patrick Mahomes at the top of the show in the intro, and I thought it was very polite of him. I thought it was very professional of him to not mention the biggest reason why the Chiefs didn't win that game against the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs a couple years back. You recall the biggest reason why they didn't win that playoff game? It's because he didn't start. So I'll die on that hill. I might already be dead. I don't know. You disagree with me?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Knowing what we know now, they would have won that game with Mahomes. So, but that's water under the bridge, and we move on and look forward to the Chiefs winning this Sunday night with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Well, I was a liar yesterday on the show. Hey, I'll tell you the truth, man. When I'm wrong or when I fib, I will own up to it. And so yesterday, I told you that because Missouri had actually won a basketball game against a quality opponent, a ranked opponent in Alabama, although I don't think they're going to be ranked much longer, but they won on Saturday. So I said yesterday, okay, that earns my time as a viewer. Because there are too many things to watch, too many things to do, to waste your time on a bad product on the field or on the court. Too many other options in life, right? To surround yourself with negativity. So I said, okay, I'll check into the game. I'll watch the game tonight and see what Mizzou's got for Arkansas. Because if you, dude, it's weird. It's like, especially in basketball, that's the one drawback from moving conferences, going to the SEC. I mean, what do you really have any rivals? Are there any rivalries you can sink your teeth into? I mean, it's been, especially for Mizzou, until this last game, it's been a good series against Arkansas in football. The games against South Carolina have developed into there's some hatred there, and there's some good football games there. in basketball, you'll always have the bragging rights game. Now they've restarted Mizzou in Kansas, but that's just, it's not the same. It never will be. And Mizzou Arkansas can be a fun rivalry, but even though they don't have just a really thriving rivalry any longer, the three games that you could point to in basketball now, or at least this year, what are the most important? What would you call the rivals? You know, using more of a broad definition. The game against Kansas, the game against Illinois, and then the two games against Arkansas. So cut everything else out. Ignore the fact that Mizzou got beat by double digits at home against the Kansas City Roos. You should ignore it, but just for this purpose, just you can ignore that 14-point loss. Ignore that they went to Liberty and got hammered at Liberty 66-45. So you could ignore that. You could say that the three most important games on the schedule, considering they're not going to go to the postseason, you know, they won't be playing any games that'll get them, you know, on the bubble or off the bubble or anything like that. And so the three most important games on the schedule would be Kansas, Illinois, and Arkansas. I think you could make that argument. Against Kansas, they lost 102-65. Against Illinois, they lost 88-63. And if you thought that was bad, last night at Arkansas, a team that was already 0-3 in the conference and had lost five of their last six games, so it's not like they were, you know, marching into a top 10 team that was on fire. This team was struggling to get a win. They lost 87-43. Now listen to this. They lost, it's hard to do. They lost by more points than they scored.
Got doubled up.
They lost more than that.
A little bit more.
They lost by 44, and they scored 43.
Ouch.
Not easy to do in the sport of college basketball. Is it?
It doesn't happen very often, I don't think.
So this is where I lied. I said I was going to watch the game. I got caught up in some other things. And I was helping, it was good stuff, worthwhile stuff. I was helping Phil St. John fill out a scholarship application. As you know, he is a freshman at UMKC. Happy to report, official report card came back, all A's for Phil St. John. So,
no surprise, but congratulations.
Quick handshake, slap on the back, and now he goes. He said to get his mind right with his other friends that are going back to school, that will be leaving. They're going on a little trip to an Airbnb, which getting details from him about this trip, I feel like I'm interrogating a prisoner. He will say nothing. Hey. He doesn't, you know. Whoa.
He's keeping a low profile.
What are you going to do there? Who's driving? Ryan. That's okay.
Why ask so many questions, Dad?
Right. I said, well, here's the deal. I need someone else's phone number in case I can't get a hold of you. I need the specific address and all these things. Or you cannot go. It's up to you. So, you know, that took some time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Pulling teeth for about it. And then filling out scholarship applications. And so time got away from me. And so all of a sudden I looked down. The game started at 8, right? And so I looked down like, oh, it's around 9. Halftime. Okay. Let me check in. Let me see how competitive they've made this. Konzo Martin thinks that they turned the corner. You like what they how they played, and if you watch the game, you like what you saw against Alabama. Alabama then number 15, and Mizzou beat them. And it was one of the better offensive performances. I think, according to the numbers, the analytics, the second best offensive performance as far as offensive efficiency under Konzo Martin, because that's been his biggest issue. His teams can't score with any consistency. So I said, okay, let me peek into this. What have they done at halftime? What have they done in the first half? Let's see if I'll watch a competitive second half. Jake, have you seen what the score was at halftime?
No.
You don't know what the score was at halftime?
I don't. Was it what Southland is a screenshot?
Okay, do you know what the score was at halftime?
Was that at halftime?
I don't remember.
The score at halftime was this. 49-15.
Yep, that's what Southland
is. The score at halftime was 49-15.
Yeah,
that's a no good.
That's honestly the only
comment on that. I mean,
I
want you to wrap your head around that. The score at halftime was 49-15.
I think I might have been like a high school.
If you had,
I don't know if it's worse to give up 49 or to only score 15.
If you had
15. Scoring 15 and a half is pretty brutal.
Like a bad Division II school that was playing a top five team on the road, that would still be an impressive score.
Yeah.
49-15. Wow. I know it's a D2 school, but damn.
Yeah,
holding any basketball team in college to 15 points and a half, like, and scoring 49.
I mean, 49. That's a up tempo game. I mean, like, you got to have a lot of possessions to get to 49 points in the half of a college basketball game.
49-15.
Do you think when Kansas plays Washburn at Allen Fieldhouse, it's not 49-15 in halftime.
You think I'll watch the second half?
I hope not.
No.
Yeah, probably every play.
No. I'm not going to waste my... Why would you waste your time with that? And I just looked at Phil. I said, hey, thank you.
Give me something else to work on.
Why? I said, thanks for keeping me occupied well past the time I was planning to watch the Mizzou game, because you saved me from watching that. You prevented me from watching that, so I appreciate that. Thank you. Do you have any other things that we can do right now to occupy my time? Well, Mom said she was going to transfer some. I said, go to your room. I don't want to hear that. Transfer money. He has his own bank account, you know. It's a mover and a shaker.
Well, yeah.
Also, I would invite you guys to start dining at Dominic's as much as possible. Starting on Monday, because that's when Phil starts his job there.
Oh, nice.
Training starts on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Under Big Tom. And boy, no one has ever been more excited to hear about his brother getting a job than Richie.
Yeah.
And I go, why are you so excited? He goes, oh, I could really go in there and jack with him, because I can get away with more at Tom's place than any place else. I said, well, that's a good point, you know?
Yeah.
I'd probably go back in the kitchen and jack with him. You know, let's not get him fired, but... The big opportunity there for Richie to harass his brother while he's working. You know what I mean?
You're always looking for those.
Tom will let me get away with a lot of stuff. Yeah. Glad that's your mindset. So there. I thankfully, because like what good would it do me to watch that? How would that add to the analysis? It's terrible. They can't let that continue. If, you know, maybe they gained some people, like I said, oh, you know, maybe I'll check out the Arkansas game after they beat Alabama. Whatever was gained in the Alabama win was lost and then some.
Annihilated.
With that last night. That's beyond words. You can't find accurate words to describe going to Arkansas. And again, Arkansas is a fine basketball team. They had lost five of their last six games, and they had lost their first three in the conference. So it's not like, you know, you went down to the defending national champs, went down to Baylor, and, oh, that's just a buzzsaw. Arkansas is fine, but, you know, they were really struggling. 49-15 at halftime. And so that's it's so bad. It's so bad. How can you let it continue? Because this horrific bed, he made it. He chased off what we now see are good players to other programs. And I say that chased off, whatever, however you want to describe it. He couldn't figure out a way to make it work with several players and replace them with players. How many new guys, new faces? Nine that he handpicked in year five. And so what is it? Did he not evaluate the recruits properly? Is he not coaching them up properly? What is it? Did he just misidentify these players? Whatever the reason is, it falls at Konzo Martin's feet. He picked the players. He's coaching those players. He's coaching those that game. That's all him. 100% handpicked that roster. Totally overturned the entire roster, and this is the result. No thank you. Good night. End of story. That cannot continue. Missouri shot 3 of 25 in the first half with 11 turnovers. Oof. Think about that in the break. In the first half, they shot 3 of 25 with 11 turnovers. I'm guessing we could find a couple of high school teams. And I'm serious. They could have shot better than 3 of 25 in the first half against Arkansas.
Okay, well, good night.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We're going to move on to the NFL and the Chiefs unless you guys have any further comments on Mizzou basketball.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what you might want to say, but go
the
ahead.
Stuff you were saying, it just hits so close to home as a KU KU football fan over the past 10 years. And I do think they've got the right guy now, but so many times there'd be like a game where KU would play well and almost win or maybe get a win, and everybody's, oh, hey, is this it? Is KU heading in the right direction? And I'd always say, well, let's see what they do next weekend. You know, if you follow it up by getting beat by 45, right. It doesn't, you know, that means the last weekend didn't really mean anything. And I understand what you're saying about this game against Alabama. Follow it up with that performance, and it kind of just erases the whole thing.
You know, and there's some Mizzou fans that are even more pessimistic about it than I am. And look, misery loves company. So after I did browse Power Mizzou and the Tiger's Lair message board, and I was reminded, because this guy came back and circled back on this. He started, there's somebody that started a thread on Saturday after they beat Alabama, and the thread was devastating win.
Oh, they hate being in that position, don't you?
You know?
Man, you hate being
what
in
a devastating win that was. If that that brings him back, you know, it's like, and so people were crushing him, and so then
he
continued the thread last night.
Bump. Yeah,
as I was saying.
Well, the other, I mean, speaking of coaches that are getting criticized by their fan base,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Weber's team.
Well, they lost to TCU at home last night, 60-57,
and they had a 4-point lead with 30 seconds to go. They went the last 2 minutes without scoring. We were talking all day yesterday about how
Mizzou did not have a lead last night.
No,
with any minutes to go at any point.
A very different kind of loss that put your coach, you know, and look, I think
they're 0-4 in the conference now.
Because that's what we were talking about yesterday, right? Like, hey, look, this K-State team is better. They've been competitive in every game. But you got to get a win at some, right. And they've dealt with a lot of adversity. You know, Bruce had missed the last two games because of COVID. Hopefully it seems like he's doing okay, which is good.
Everyone talks about running, said the Big 12 schedule such a gauntlet. Well, you got to win a game like that.
Yeah, especially when you have it in your hands. And I saw some of the players were basically asked about all the criticism going Bruce Weber's way last night, and they stood up for him, which I think is key. Marquise Noel was basically saying, hey, you should blame us as players. You shouldn't blame Bruce. He's a great coach, great man. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of the K-State fans have kind of, you know, they're...
Well, that's who's going to get the blame.
Yeah, that's how it goes in college athletics, right?
You know, because especially now with the transfer portal, players will leave immediately. They might be there a year. They might be there 2 years. They might not be there very long at all.
Yeah.
But the coach... You know,
well, in college athletics, the coach is also the GM, right?
Well,
but
there you
that's
go.
Tough for K-State because they, man, that would have been a big win.
You know, also, a tough one for Ben Roethlisberger. He's really feeling sorry for himself. He apparently wants you to feel sorry for him. He was at the podium yesterday. And here is Big Ben Roethlisberger on being an underdog in this game Sunday against the Chiefs.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. I hope we don't go in and get blown out by 20 or 30 points. You know, we'll get, I don't think Pat didn't play in the first one, and we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, they didn't have guys playing there on their team either. So from what I understand, I'm sure both teams will be close to full strength as you can get this time of year. And, you know, we'll just go, hope we can keep it close.
He said they're not a very good team. If you rank the 14 playoff teams, they're probably number 14, a 20-point underdog. Probably go in and lose 20. Hope they don't lose by 20 or 30 points. Just hope to keep it close. What do you take away from those comments?
Oh, I think teams like that are dangerous.
Does that scare you?
It doesn't scare me, but it has my attention. You know, we have seen teams in the NFL that have snuck into the playoffs or backed into the playoffs, go win a playoff game, right? And so those teams are dangerous because, as Bob Dylan said, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose, right?
They do have star power. They have some terrific players.
Yep.
Like T.J. Watt. We went, you know, down the list. They got some nice playmakers on offense. And so that's what, going back to the conversation we had yesterday, we all think that Mike Tomlin is a top five coach.
Yep.
And so if you have a team, backs against the wall, we weren't even supposed to be here today.
Right. Clerks.
A future Hall of Fame quarterback with his last go around.
Mm-hmm.
And a top five coach that is, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
So then why, is it just the fact that the Chiefs beat them so handily a few weeks ago? Why are so many people super confident that this is going to be an easy win and already looking past the Steelers?
Well, because the Chiefs kicked their ass once. Because
are you?
I'm pretty confident.
Are you looking past the Steelers? Say it.
I'm not looking past them, no. I don't think you just can't. It's the NFL, man. And all the things you said were true. But, you know, Mike Tomlin said after the game over the weekend, man, we got a lot of warts. Remember how he said that?
Right.
He's like, you know, but we're here. And he almost said that like that was a badge of pride. You know, we made the playoffs even with this team. You know, like, we're not pretty. He knows they're not pretty.
Well,
they tied the Lions.
Going,
you know,
into week 18, they had 8% chance to make it. 8% chance to making the playoffs.
Does it make you nervous that the last two performances since that Steelers game, the Chiefs lost to the Bengals and then had a life and death struggle with the Denver Broncos?
Yes. That's concerning. I think they're going to kick it into a different gear now that it's the postseason, but, you know, there's no, I mean, that's.
Because that was
making a leap, you know, to say that it's going to happen.
That was a 28-24 game. I mean, if the Broncos could have got the ball back at the end, they had enough time to kick another field goal to make it 28-27.
Well, before, that's.
If they just would have, you know, if they could have got the ball back, there was enough time
See what you did there. Your fan just ruined that last opportunity. Like, oh, man, we could have made it a one-point game.
Right.
But in all seriousness, I thought they were going to win the game as they were driving down the field.
Until Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton saved your ass.
I thought the Broncos were going to win that game. Yeah. But all those things are true about the Steelers, but the Steelers do have a lot of warts. I mean, like, they do have a lot of warts. You know, one of their best wide receivers is injured. Two of their best, maybe their two best interior defensive linemen are injured. They have had issues this year. And Ben Roethlisberger isn't the guy. But they got nothing to lose. Nobody expects them to be here.
They have a defensive player that could wreck a game.
They have the playmakers on both sides of the ball. And like you said, they've got a quarterback where, you know, love him or hate him right now.
Hate him.
He is not going to be intimidated by anything that happens in that game. The moment is never going to be too big for him mentally, right? Like, he's been in bigger moments than this so many times in his career.
Might be too big for him physically, though.
It might be. That's fair enough. But like, there's a lot of guys that I think mentally those moments get to them, and that isn't going to happen. You know what I mean? The question is,
does he have one more great performance in him?
I don't see it. I mean, look.
He didn't have one more. That's different. He didn't have another great season in him.
No.
Does he have one more great performance in him? Watching him
throw the ball, I would say all season long, no. I don't ever recall him just flinging it around the yard.
Do you think it's different, like, every game? Like, this might be his last game. This might be his last game versus the mentality of, hey, we don't win. This is my last game.
Right. But, like, you look at what Phillip Rivers did last year with the Colts and then going into Buffalo. They almost beat Buffalo, right? Mm-hmm. And he was chucking all over Ralph Wilson Stadium. The point is that
if he was the quarterback for the Colts this year, we'd be playing the Colts.
Well, my point is that he could still do it. That ability, you saw it all season long in him, right? And so I just don't think he has anything left in his arm. I don't think they're covering the spread. I said that yesterday. I don't think it's going to be a 12.5-point plus game.
I agree with you. I mean, I think this Steelers team does have a lot of warts. And I think that, look, their offensive line's not that great. I think that Chris Jones ought to be able to wreck it and put Ben Roethlisberger under pressure all game. And he doesn't have the mobility to get away. And
he will not escape.
Right. But if the Chiefs tackle like they did against the Broncos, Najee Harris could have a huge game. And if Najee Harris has a huge game, that does open up Ben Roethlisberger to hit some play-action passes that hurt the team. If the Chiefs turn the ball over, you know, it's going to take some things like that. But if those things happen, if the Chiefs play a mistake-prone game, and they've had those games this year, even recently, where they've turned the ball over too much, and if they don't tackle well, that's where, you put yourself in a position where Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to have a great game. Maybe he has to have a great quarter. And we have seen him do that this year, Jake, right? Like, we've seen him in the fourth quarter go out and make some big plays.
He can't turn the football over.
No. Right.
So that's my. I think my point being is that if the Steelers have a chance, it's going to be their defense identity plus the Chiefs turning the ball over. Like, I'm more worried about Watt creating all kinds of havoc than I am Big Ben coming in there and for a quarter throwing the ball.
And he can't do it by himself. They have to run the hell out of the football.
Right.
Yeah. They have to have success running the football. Yeah.
Like, the best thing he can do is 50 times. Have no turnovers, have a high completion percentage, and not screw it up. And then the Chiefs have to screw it up, and their defense has to win the game for them. I mean, that's their identity. That's the thing that's dangerous about the Steelers. They do have an identity. No matter what their warts are, their coach is their identity. Their toughness is their identity. Watt is a stud. I mean, to do what he did this year, like that is troublesome for me.
You could say the Chiefs' performance against the Broncos gets them beat against the Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is,
maybe
if, let's say, the Chiefs end up in this situation where they feel like they got to gear up to stop the run, and they leave their corners in one-on-one situations. Chase Claypool, 6'4", and Ben Roethlisberger throws it up to him a couple times, and they get a couple of those defensive holding and DPI penalties, and Claypool wins a couple jump balls. Like, those things can happen, right? Like, those are good NFL players over there, and sometimes they win those battles, and who knows how the refs are going to be calling the game. You know, we've seen that. That can affect things. So I'm not predicting those things to happen, but you have to be aware that those things can happen, right? Like, that's a legitimate possibility that type of game plays out. That's why you can't take them lightly and just say, oh, yeah, it's going to be a cakewalk. They might blow the Steelers out. I don't think that the Steelers blow the Chiefs out. But that doesn't mean they can't beat them if things work right for them in the game.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We'll play some Mike Tomlin sound 7 o'clock. Right now, let's hear a couple of clips from Andy Reid. Andy Reid spoke yesterday along with Patrick Mahomes. We'll also hear from Travis Kelce. Here is Andy Reid as he talks about his approach in the postseason.
Yeah, so you definitely understand that it's single elimination. And so when you go through, you're going to do what you think is best. I'm not going to say it narrows it down, but you're going to narrow it down to that team, what you think is best, and then run it. It doesn't really matter if it's offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter.
Here Andy Reid was asked if he's done any prep or will do any prep for the divisional round.
Right now, it's just all Pittsburgh. So, you know, it takes every bit of effort that you have to make sure you're ready for this football team. And they're a good football team.
Skip ahead to number four. Here's Andy Reid. He was asked about facing the Steelers for the second time.
Yeah, listen, there's always change that takes place. So I would expect that from Pittsburgh. And just like I do from the teams we play in the AFC West. So you play a team twice, you're going to throw some different wrinkles at them. You just don't study the last couple games. You study the whole season when you go into something like this.
Here is Andy Reid talking about Pittsburgh head coach Mike Tomlin.
Listen, he's a heck of a football coach. He's also a friend. I've got to know him over the years. I don't know that. I enjoy being around him. And he's been very, very successful at what he does. So, and I know he and Brad are very close to him. So, Eric Bieniemy was on that. So, I mean, there are a lot of people that kind of intertwined that were on that staff. And, we all feel like we've known each other for a while.
Now here's Big Red talking about Patrick Mahomes and his maturity.
He's growing before our eyes. I think all of us, without too much of a cliche here, but he's a young guy. He came here as a young guy. He's still not old in our comparison, but he's mature for his age, and he continues to experience these things of life that kind of present themselves when you are famous and when you are a new dad. All the things Ben's already gone through, he's kind of experiencing now, just like what Ben went through and some of these other quarterbacks. But that's a unique position because you're the face of the organization, and so that's it's important how you handle that, and he does such a nice job with it, and we're grateful that he's a mature kid.
Going back to what Andy said about Mike Tomlin and Eric Bieniemy, and I think Brad Childress and me familiar with each other, he was referring to 2006 when Mike Tomlin, he had left the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where he was defensive backs coach, and then for 1 year he was defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, and at the same time from 2006 until 2009, Eric Bieniemy was the running backs coach and then became the assistant head coach. And then after that, Bieniemy went to Colorado as the offensive coordinator before arriving in Kansas City in 2013. And that's one of the reasons why at least the Minnesota Vikings job is one that you've heard Eric Bieniemy linked to, because he did spend so much time in Minnesota from 2006 until 2010. The other team that he's been linked to is the Denver Broncos. And he spent a lot of time in Colorado. I was reading a back and forth with Jeremy Fowler, I think another reporter, a couple other reporters at ESPN.com last night, about what they're hearing around the coaching searches, and those are really the only two that Bieniemy was mentioned in. And so we'll see. Maybe Minnesota, maybe Denver, but maybe not again. He might get passed over again this time around. But and I guess the hottest name, the most attractive name, as everyone's asking permission for, is going to be is Dan Quinn, because apparently the word is he has put together already an unbelievable staff. And that's something we don't, you know, think about, you know, when you get into the interviews. Hey, who are your coordinators going to be? Who you got? And I we'll find out whenever he ends up taking whatever job he takes. But apparently he has the, you know, that's the word. Those are the whispers that he's put together such an unbelievable staff that all teams are trying to, or at least requesting permission to talk to him. He's going to be very picky and choosy. And so we'll see if Eric Bieniemy gets a look this time around. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th Spot. We'll get back to some Chiefs sound coming up. I want to mention that today, from 11 until 1, I will be at Tequila Harry's in the southeast corner of College Boulevard and Corvera in Overland Park. Come out and see me from 11 until 1. Tequila Harry's is celebrating their 35th birthday. And to celebrate their 35th birthday and the start of the playoffs, they're offering some incredible specials. If you come wearing your favorite team colors, just show up wearing your favorite team colors, jersey, hat. Come on now. Show your spirit. They'll give you a $10 gift card. If you wear your team colors today, you'll get a $10 gift card to Tequila Harry's. You can also enjoy, if you want to have a liquid lunch, $5 house margs and frozen margaritas all day long. Plus, the 810 special, you can get a Sancho or burrito bowl as your 810 special for lunch. Wear your team colors to Tequila Harry's. Today, from 11 to 1, and get a $10 gift card and enjoy some great lunch specials. Tequila Harry's at the southeast corner of College Boulevard and Quivira in Overland Park. Today, from 11 till 1 on Sports Radio 810 with me. Let's come out and eat. Nate Bucati?
Love that spot.
Oh, do you? You have something you want to get off your chest?
No, I want to keep this on my chest, but look at this. See this hoodie I got here? Police Athletic League from KCK. I was down there watching the Invicta fight last night. And, you know, that's my old hood, 5th Street and KCK. It was fun. I ran into a couple of my high school buddies. Shout out to Police Officer Joey Reyes, who works at the Police Athletic League down there all the time, which is a great spot, Stephen. They'd love to have you come down. They said they got a hoodie waiting for you anytime you want to come by.
Thank you.
Because there's a lot of kids down there. That gym is open to the kids in the area. Every afternoon, Monday through Thursday, day for 3 hours, they can go down there. They can box. They can work out. They can, but the police officers down there now are helping teach driver's ed to kids who might not have driver's licenses, teaching them about literacy in terms of getting their car insurance and things like that. I think it's an awesome program. And the fight last night was really, really good. Jessica Dalbani won a championship at Invicta, and that was a really good fight. It went all the way 5 rounds, so it was fun to watch. And shout out to everybody from Invicta and KCK that was down there last night. It was really fun. But they'd love to have you. They specifically, like Joey, came up and said, "Hey, man, how can we get Steven down here sometime?"
I'm in. Just ask.
Yeah. So I said, "Hey, Steven, you know, same type of deal." I was like, "Yeah, that's Steven." Boxing was what helped get him through some of the stuff he went through growing up. You know,
I wouldn't be in the position I am without boxing and what it gave back to me after I gave a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and then for some reason more blood than I was supposed to. Back in the day, I donated, in the name of Randy Carver, a bunch of boxing equipment to the Police Athletic League program on the Missouri side. And so very familiar with the excellent work that they do. Also very familiar with the Tequila Harry's menu, and I say I'm going to get something different every time, but I'm looking again, and it seems like the right time for more of their delicious, authentic pork chili. So,
Ooh, yeah.
With some warm tortillas. Thank you. Is that? I mean, what's wrong with that, Jake? If I have
nothing, I've got shrimp fajitas.
If I've landed on something very delicious, why switch it up?
I go in there and say, hey, I'm going to try something different. Nope, just give me the shrimp fajitas.
Well, come on out there, and I'll take care of you. You can have. Are you in that mode? Or are you? Is there some kind of weird fast that you're doing where shrimp fajitas would not be on the?
Only eating raw right now. Raw
what?
Food. Not eating anything cooked.
Okay.
Let's break.
Thankfully, I've just secured Jake Gutierrez as a guest on Hot Mic with SSJ. Yeah. I believe topic number one. There we found our first topic. We'll find out this week on Hot Mic why Jake is only eating raw things,
lowering
raw foods.
Lowering my density.
Lowering your what?
Density.
No.
You need to travel that fourth density, baby.
And there it is. There's your preview of Hot Mic with SSJ this week. We'll be back into this on the Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.